across America. One of the recent articles was the fact that over a about a 6 or 7 year period between 1999 and 2005, the number of women who were pregnant, who were diabetic, had doubled. The number, of course, at the same time period, the number of teenagers giving to a birth during the same period had gone up 5 times. Why do we have this epidemic of diabetes in America? Well, of course, they just have no idea. Shucks, we're just going to look into that. Well, I'll tell you why. They admit that it's related to obesity. We have this epidemic of obesity. But why do we have an epidemic of obesity? Why, very simply, because Donald Rumsfeld, when he was president of a cereal company, got the FDA to legalize MSG and, of course, aspartame, NutraSweet, which produce pathological obesity in every animal it's given to, including human beings. And the FDA had fought for 15 years to keep this off the market, and thanks to Donald Rumsfeld, we got it on the market. Aspartame, MSG, used in almost everything you're going to be able to buy in our stores today, produces pathological obesity. They knew that leads to diabetes. Now, if this is really true, why doesn't everybody know? Well, very simply, because the media in America is controlled. They're not going to tell you. But if you want to check it out, I suggest you go to Betty Martini's website. You'll see all the scientific papers there, or you can get the DVD from us, Sweet Remedy. Sweet Remedy goes into Dr. Olney's studies back in the 1960s, which were, of course, the basis for the FDA refusal to allow MSG into our food and aspartame into our food cycle that produces the pathological obesity that's producing the marked increase of diabetes. Now, go to Betty's website, Doorway, DORWAY.com. That's Doorway.com, or just look up Betty Martini, Google it in, you'll get to her website. Understand, they know exactly what's going on. They just don't want the American people to know that they are actually destroying the health of our people. And we could go into so many other things, the fact that we have a dramatic increase in cancer. Back in the year, beginning of the last century, 1 in 33 people got cancer. Today it's 1 in 2. And the government says, oh, shucks, we have no idea why it's happening. We're going to look into that. We're going to have a war on cancer. Ladies and gentlemen, they know what produces this. For instance, they know the relationship between milk consumption in adult women and the increase in breast cancer. It increases it dramatically. And the same thing with prostatic cancer. 1 in 3 men gets a prostatic cancer, and they know the relationship to milk. And certainly other things that they're doing, they know very well that they're poisoning our water with fluoride. And the studies are all there. We have them from scientific journals. And the reason that doctors and dentists and people don't know what's going on is because of the degree of control over the dissemination of information within the medical and dental community. If you haven't seen our material on the hidden agenda, my talk and the syllabus, we recommend that. And then, of course, I'd also like to recommend strongly a talk. We have a 4-tape set called The New Order of the Barbarians. But before we, let's get right to our special guest this evening. She has an amazing story to tell. I talked to her many years ago, and I'm really glad we're going to have Kay Grigg on with us tonight. Kay is one of those rare people who is on the inside of what's going on, had the courage to come forward, and, well, God's really protected her, and she's alive to tell the story. The story you're going to hear this evening about what goes on behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. Kay, are you there?
I'm here. I sure am.
I really appreciate so much of being with us. And I just wanted to give our audience, we've got a pretty good audience on this program. We have about 12 stations with shortwave and internet that pull this down, and an awful lot of people are going to hear your story this evening. How long ago were you married to your husband?
Well, we were divorced in 2000.
All right, fine. So, but you were married to him for a long time before that, weren't you?
Yeah. Was married to him from 1987. And I honestly had no idea that these kinds of things went on, because my father and most of my family had been in the Naval Reserve and had a wonderful father. But I just couldn't believe that these kinds of things were allowed to to happen and go on. And
well, I don't think that most people in the military have any idea really what goes on behind the scenes. Everything is so compartmentalized. I'm sure many people in the CIA don't know what the CIA is really doing. I'm sure that many mm-hmm. people in our military, most of them are loyal Americans who love this country and are willing to give their life for our country.
They sure do.
But unfortunately, there is a small component that has a different agenda. And, of course, that's really what you're going to be talking about, is this dark side of government. Would that be a fair statement, a dark side of the military, dark side of intelligence?
Yeah. They call it the, you know, black operations and black this and dark, you know, it's the other side from light. That's for sure.
And, of course, I think, you know, most of our Marines are loyal people who do anything for our country. But, unfortunately, there is a component of which your husband was apparently part of it. And do you think he has any idea of the significance of what he's doing? Has he ever come to you and said, you know, well, I know what we're doing is morally and ethically and legally wrong?
No, I really don't believe that my husband and the people he sort of hung around with really have what I would call sort of empathy or moral a moral basis for what they do. I really believe that they feel that they're above the law and they're not religious or spiritual or faith-based individuals, the ones I am aware of.
Well, do you think any of them were involved in the occult, in this looking into the supernatural as far as trying to tap into this other force that's out there?
Well, they do.
Hold that thought. We're going to bring our stations right back on board
okay.
here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Kay Griggs. Now, Kay married a Marine, high-ranking Marine officer. He was a colonel. And 1987, I was married until the year 2000. She had no idea when she entered into the marriage that her husband was involved with the dark activities, certainly the black operations of the, which many, some people, very few people, but a few people in the Marine Corps and our intelligence agencies were involved in. So, Kay, why don't you tell us when your husband would become violently drunk, what he told you about what was really going on behind the scenes? Was he a Marine colonel when you married him?
He was, he told me that he wore many hats and that not one of them really meant that much. And I got the feeling that he was a Marine, but he was other things, that he was very much a chameleon. He had different passports, and he would wear plain clothes and represent this small group in the White House and within his circle of friends, which included Rumsfeld and Carlucci and so forth, because there was a very elite Princeton military group, just as there was one at Annapolis. And the interesting thing to me, because I was a school teacher when my livelihood, I had been a history teacher and so forth, and interested in things that went on before.
And because you actually had come from a military family, your father and other relatives had been in the Naval Reserve, and they were loyal, of course, American citizens, fought for
our
country. And, of course, here, she's introduced to this, you know, this other group. There is another group out there. You never heard of Rusbacher, did you?
Yes, in fact, I spoke with him when I lived with Sarah McClendon.
All right, fine. Of course, Rusbacher, I knew. I had the opportunity of meeting him. He was another one of the people involved in the Black Ops, and he was the man who actually, at least according to his claim, had actually flown George Bush over to Paris for the Iran-Contra cover-up, the October surprise, and of course, I followed him. I got quite involved with his life there for a short period of time. And as what his an attorney told me, he was on trial because, of course, he'd violated some laws, and so they were going to, the CIA was going to hang him out to dry. And of course, his attorney told me, I've been in law 40 years, I've never seen a case like this. Five judges have reclused themselves from hearing this case. They don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And, of course, these people live in an entirely different world. They live in a world of shadows, and of course, the government, of course, if you're with them, they'll do anything for you. You can get away with murder.
And they live, I believe, in an atmosphere of fear because they're told that their orders, and they, in other words, my husband and the people under him, he was on a much higher level than many in the Marine Corps because of his Princeton connections and his cap and gown connections. And most of the Marine Corps generals and so forth, their grammar wasn't all that great, and they, you know, but they sort of looked up to people who'd gone to Ivy League colleges.
Well, now, basically, what were some of these black operations that your husband was involved in? What sort of things were they doing that was against the law?
Well, they call it psyops, and there are all sorts of different words that he used because he was very quiet until he started imbibing, you know, having his drinks at night, and I thought I could stop him from doing that, but he opened up verbally, and I was very inquisitive, and the things that shocked me were that he said things like that they would, it would be all right to shoot down a plane of full of people if it meant saving the country. In other words, they didn't call assassination. It was neutralization, and they would do it very willingly, and if they deemed that the person was not going along with the program.
Oh, I know a number of the people actually I've interviewed have been assassinated. Gary Webb, who was a reporter from the San Jose Mercury that wrote about the Central Intelligence Agency and their involvement in the drug smuggling into this country. Now, that's only a small part of the CIA, but they were, I mean, Gary Webb, of course, committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. Chip Tatum, who have a professional assassin for the CIA. I understand his body washed ashore in South America here. We have a number of interviews with him. Fascinating man.
Oh, I remember him.
Remember Chip Tatum? And, of course,
I
can think of at least two others that who have been killed. Sarah McLennan, you lived with for a time. Now, Sarah McLennan just died of old age. She was a crotchety old lady, but she was probably the dean of reporters there at the White House for really many years. She had known every president from Franklin Delano Roosevelt right up through Bill Clinton.
In fact, certainly did.
And certainly you actually lived with her for a while after you left your husband?
Well, I had death threats. And people, and we found out who they were. They were there was an elite team out of Little Creek, and I was being, I guess you would say, monitored because I found out, and I didn't know what to do after I had had two death threats, and I was frightened. And my phone was being rerouted. Phone calls were not getting to me, and even Sarah couldn't get to me. She had to go to a phone in Maryland.
That was Sarah McLennan, of course, who was this reporter, the senior reporter on the White House press group. Anyway, of course, didn't you go to live with her for a time? Or?
Oh, I did. I lived with her for 6 or 7 months, and she was just fabulous. She literally saved my life.
Well, of course, let's get into what some of these black operations were. You mentioned they were really concerned about killing Americans as long as they were told it was, of course, to preserve America. But certainly, what about the occult? Was there an occult underground here? Were some of these people trying to tap into the supernatural powers out there, or were they simply just carrying out orders?
Well, I think a lot of young men are very susceptible to cult-like trainings, and the certain groups within the military use. Because maybe their family life was not really good, and they're looking to substitute something for religion or whatever, and they use tactics which are cult-like.
All right, fine.
To get the boys to believe that they're doing something special, and you know, groups like the Kidons or the Sayeret Metcal or the Gladio group, which my husband was. Worked with, which was a NATO assassin group. They would play dirty tricks, which would range from, you know, just all kinds of really, really dreadful things.
All right, well, then your husband was a trained assassin?
Yes. Oh, and he was the number one. He said he was the best shooter in the Marine Corps. His scores were the best.
And of course, we've talked to a number of assassins. Chip Tatum was a CIA assassin. Colonel Marvin was a CIA assassin. And of course, L.D. Brown was recruited by Bill Clinton to become an assassin. But of course, he refused to carry out his orders. And so he didn't last long with the CIA. He refused. He was told he was going to Mexico to shoot kill a Mexican drug dealer. It turned out to be Terry Reid, who had written a book about Bush and Clinton called Compromised. The book is called Compromised. You can still get up on the Internet. And L.D. Brown, and I've talked to him about it personally, I have his book, was sent down to Mexico to kill this drug dealer. It turned out to be Terry Reid, who was there with his wife and three children, and of course he couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, so his career is a paid assassin. Now the CIA says we don't assassinate people. No, they don't. They hire other people to do it, right? And they, of course, they have their team, Special Forces teams. Of course, the Special Forces teams then are recruited. And then, of course, they use the Mafia as well, if you doubt that. The book Double Cross by Chuck Giancano, the brother of the head of the Mafia. And I don't know if you know the book, but basically they talk about how the CIA, the Mafia does the assassinations for the CIA, and of course the CIA helps the Mafia as far as their drug sources are concerned. So it's a very efficient thing. But the book that documents that is Double Cross. You can get that off the Internet by Chuck Giancano. But they can't let the American people know that. Well, anyway, did your husband tell you of any of the people he actually did murder for the government order?
They were involved in particular because he was the liaison with the White House, with he and Rumsfeld and Carlucci and Jim Baker were all Princeton. Jim Baker was a Marine. There was a Princeton group, and they were in Cap and Gown, which is an eating club. But they was all scholarship boys, and Carlucci roomed with Rummy, and my husband idolized Rummy and even had a stand tall desk like him, and they were really good pals.
And of course, Rumsfeld and these people were all in the administration under Ronald Reagan. They went out when Ronald Reagan went out in January of 1989. Frank Carlucci, incidentally, one of the founders of Carlyle Corporation.
Well, the Carlyle Group.
Hold that just a moment.
Okay.
Okay, go right ahead there.
The Carlyle Group was actually, as I understand it, founded in New York City in the Carlyle Hotel by a guy named Rubenstein, and they were involved in the beginning in sort of the entertainment industry, and then they sort of branched out and they got George Bush Sr., and because it became very, very profitable when they started doing work for the government. And what was interesting is after 9/11, They made a lot of money. They've made a lot of money since then. They even control all of the big cave in Pennsylvania where they have all the records of all the government employees, and they vet them, and they work with the Chinese government, the British government. So it really is a corporation now that is global.
And right, I think actually Carlyle was Frank Carlucci, James Baker III, advisor to President George Herbert Walker Bush. George Herbert Walker Bush was part of that. The Saudis were part of it. Certainly, they had billions of dollars, and they've made countless billions of dollars. They even, of course, got the rights to market the Bradley fighting vehicle in the early 90s. Why would anybody want to, have a Bradley fighting vehicle? We didn't have any enemies in the world at that time. The only reason, of course, you'd want to market the Bradley fighting vehicle is if you knew there was going to be a war in the Middle East. And of course,
they prepared for that way ahead of time. They, on 9/11 that day, they had, I believe there were 5 operations going on beginning at that day.
Right.
So,
I mean, did your husband ever tell you anything about the plans for the Mideast war?
They were always playing war games. When I was a NATO wife, the war games were going on all the time. And basically what surprised me was that the war games would go on, and you would hear about this one or that one, and they go in this, they have these big, this big sort of room, and now it's all computerized over in Suffolk and Washington and all over the world. They have these little computer terminals. But once the war game goes on, because it's always us against them, their mentality is, they're very childish, and, they don't think about the win-win strategy, and they like war because war is very profitable for them. But they play these games, and then the operations, whether it's reality or a game, the game becomes real. They sort of test it.
Well, I'm sure that the present war in Iraq was planned long before the attack on the World Trade Center there in September of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
We know from Paul O'Neill's book. Paul O'Neill was the Secretary of the Treasury, and page 96 of his book, The Price of Loyalty, he tells about how attending conferences there in the White House, national security meetings, in January and February of 2001, that would be, what, the 9 to 10 months before the, or 8 to 9 months before the September 11th attack. There was Rumsfeld, and there was Wolfowitz and Cheney, arguing about how they were going to get the American people to go along with a preemptive war, where the Iraq would be right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Kay Craig, and Craig, pardon me, Kay has an amazing story to tell. Why don't you go ahead and just tell us what you learned from your husband when he was drinking and when he became very garrulous. And he was part of this elite group within the United States Marine Corps, but it really interlocked. Of course, it had nothing to do with Marines. It had to do with this almost secret government that works within the shadows in black ops. What did he, some of the things he told you?
Well, I learned by meeting some of these people, and I was curious about why they were either stationed in Indonesia with Wolfowitz, or they kept mentioning names that one would read about in the paper, and we started getting visitors from all these different countries, and they would, spend the night, and I would have dinner parties for Lebanese people and so forth. And they tended to be leaders or CIA officers or, someone who'd written a book about this country, but they were very knowledgeable about revolutions that occurred within countries. And I think what it finally dawned on me was when Rockland Williams came over, and he was supposedly a general who was an assassin who worked for South Africa and was working for the British government or the Irish government and the American government, and went to school in North Carolina at Black Mountain. But he was a really nice person, alcoholic. But I wondered, how does somebody like that, why are we wining and dining him? You know what I mean? He's really a total alcoholic.
Don't worry, a lot of the people are heavily involved with use and misuse of alcohol.
Yeah, and sex. Sex is a way they can control them. And I believe that William Colby, because I had spoken with him when I was calling Sarah and trying to get help, because he had known my Uncle Ben Delaney, who was a football star at Princeton, and Uncle Ben had been in the CIA, and he was involved with Vitro and jet missiles and so forth. And Colby told me that he would do something about it. He said it was just really bad. I called him at his law office.
Now, of course, Colby at this time had retired. He had been the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. He was retired, and he was writing a book about the CIA, kind of bring out the things that, lo and behold, why in the middle of a fierce storm with all the things, even the food cooking on the kitchen table, he goes for a canoe ride on the lake, and of course, some days later, they find his body. Here's the former head of the American Central Intelligence Agency. But this is the way the game is played. That's what happened.
Yeah, and there was another man who went that way, and I believe it was another country that works with our country. We have a lot of bilateral. My husband worked with this other country, and they're not, in my estimation, very ethical country, because they sort of they don't have the same basis of sort of democracy and treatment of women. Women can't even sit in the same room with them when they're in their worship and so forth. But John Paisley was another one who was involved with trying to sort of do in Richard Nixon, and because Richard Nixon was siding with the Saudis during the gas war, and I think it was 1972 or
1973, right.
And this country was very upset with him. And as we now know, Mark Felt was an FBI informer to Bernstein, and Bernstein.
He was the FBI informer for the. He was deep throat for Bernstein and Woodward's book.
Yes, and Bernstein was involved with shenanigans at a place that my husband knew about, and called Rush River Lodge.
Right.
And Paisley went there too. Paisley was done in 78, I believe it was. Same way Colby was.
And, ladies and gentlemen, they actually kill people. They think nothing at all about it. They have their professional assassins, and if you get out of line, they simply take you out. Or they, destroy you in some other way. Discredit you, demonize you. All sorts of articles in the paper. Sometimes you get the people accuse them of a crime, and they send them off to prison. And, of course, in prison, they will be there for years. And they're told if they ever speak out again, why, of course, they'll never get out. I know this happened to a gentleman that I personally know of.
Mm-hmm.
He was his second time arrested and justifiably told, if you ever speak, you'll never get out of prison.
That's right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Kay Griggs, and of course she's talking about what she had learned about what the things that go on behind the scenes from her husband, who was a colonel in the Marine Corps. But he was really, of course, not necessarily a Marine at all. He was one of these people that goes back and forth within the services, within the intelligence agencies, working under the direct orders from these covert organizations that work behind the scenes that are answerable to no one. Certainly most members of our Congress and the Senate have never heard of them. They operate with black budgets. And did your husband ever tell you anything at all about the drug running operations that the CIA and the intelligence agencies were involved in?
Well, yeah, he talked about the way it worked in Beirut and in Panama, because we had a visitor, I won't name his name, although he stayed here for 2 or 3 days. He was a Maronite Christian colonel from Beirut who worked with this other country, and they did some very bad things to the Palestinians and blamed it on Arabs. But this particular person who stayed at our house was friends with a lot of people at a place called AUB, American University of Beirut, and they ran drugs, or CIA, I guess you would call it CIA, and they made money by bringing drugs through the Bekaa Valley. They were involved with with individuals in this other country, and they would take the money, skim money off the top, and then sell really bad weapons that were sold to other countries that were small, and they would tell them that America wanted them to, do this little revolution, and so they would have these weapons. And a lot of the weapons were just seconds. They would have parts that wouldn't work. I mean, it was really sad what we did and how we, our government, set up these individuals and literally murdered people like Lumumba, because I know Carlucci was involved with that.
All right, for our listener out there, Patrice Lumumba was, believe he was going to be the premier of the Congo, and they didn't want him there. He was a Marxist, and he was a Marxist who wouldn't play ball. Of course, we put Marxists into power all over the world, but Patrice Lumumba wouldn't play ball, and they killed him. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Kay Grigg, who had the misfortune of marrying a Marine colonel, but of course the colonel was involved in black ops, and he eventually, of course, in his drunken stupor, would tell her about many of the things. And of course, Kay was just talking about the CIA and their involvement, or at least people within the CIA, their involvement in the drug smuggling over in Lebanon. Of course, we know that they were also involved in drugs in the Far East during the Vietnam War. Many of the times they would cut open the bodies of the returning servicemen, remove all the intestines, and pack the abdominal cavity with drugs. Cindy Monica Justin Stevenson covers that in her book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye. But of course, we can't let the American people know that, so they recall the book, and then eventually they shredded 5,000 copies of the book, just by accident, of course. We do carry the book. It's an important book, goes into the CIA and drugs in Vietnam, and that's one reason why we kept the war going for so long. But Kay was saying that her personal experience was with some of the people who were involved with the drug growing there in the Bekaa Valley, which is part of Lebanon, and then, of course, the CIA involvement in that and selling, getting those drugs sold. And then did they buy weapons with that, or what did they do with it?
They used the money because Ali North was under my husband. George worked, he was a liaison with the NSA and the White House and with President Jamal of Beirut. And because he spoke French and, at Princeton, his thesis was written in French, although there's another story that goes into that. It was kind of interesting how his French wasn't all that good. But yeah, he was involved with Malcolm Kerr and told me why he had to be neutralized, because he wouldn't allow my husband's shooters to pretend they were students in the dormitories there at the in the AUB, American University of Beirut, where they had a lot of people who were pretend they weren't real students. They were spies, but they were pretending to be professors or, economists or whatever. And, of course, all the governments, I'm sure, do that. But Malcolm Kerr did not. He was British, and he'd worked with our CIA, and he did not want shooters in with the students. And there were other reasons why they wanted to get rid of him, but they got rid of him.
What did they do? Was he
shot him.
Assassinated.
They assassinated him.
And of course.
And he was a good man. He was brilliant. He was, you know, he was an intellectual. He was like that fellow David Kelly, who knew that he was going to get it, because he knew that about Yellowcake, and he knew all of that. And when I saw him on C-SPAN, I knew he was afraid. His body language, Jack Straw didn't. Nobody wanted him to. He was. Everybody knew he knew, and he was done in 2 days later.
After appearing on what, national television?
Yeah, he was on C-SPAN, and he was grilled, and Jack Straw was just looking at him with daggers in his eyes.
No, because was this having to do with the fact that Iraq was trying to get a nuclear weapons, or what was that all about?
No, that was all bogus.
I figured it was all bogus.
It was all bogus because it was just a.
That was to be used as a
parade and
to justify our going into Iraq, of course.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, it was like those guys who were supposedly flying the planes were training at a place in Florida where George had friends. They were, you know, the Germans. It was kind of like a false flag thing.
Are you speaking now of the people who supposedly flew into the Twin Towers there on September
6th? Yeah, I believe they really believed that they were playing one of the five war games that were going on beginning that day.
Yeah, actually there were, of course. But people really don't understand is that on that morning, and one reason why the FAA and NORAD did not launch planes immediately is because they were playing all these war games that involved, you know, planes crashing into government buildings.
Yeah, in fact, my brother's wife's brother, Mead Folks, was out there. He was playing war games, and he never left Virginia Beach, but they were playing war games beginning that day. And Tommy Franks was out of the country. They had a Marine Corps chief of staff and at Central Command. They had a second in command Marine at the Joint Chief. So, in other words, the big guys were totally away. They had a Carlisle meeting that morning at the Ritz-Carlton. And I mean, it was all so interesting and so timely. And another thing I know for a fact that the section of the Pentagon that was exploded, I don't believe there was a plane in the Pentagon, was run by, now this fellow was an Israeli, a Zionist rabbi, who was in control of the Pentagon's whole budget. His name was Dov Zeichem. Anybody can check that out. And that, the Treasury, the place that keeps all the records for the Pentagon, very conveniently blew up. Now, isn't that interesting?
No, I think it's there are too many things that happened that day. Everybody has to look at the picture of the crash site at the Pennsylvania. It was just a big hole in the ground. No wreckage, we're told. A plane, a large plane, Flight 93, crashed into the ground. Absolutely no wreckage. How could you possibly do that? In fact, the only thing that survived was the so-called slightly tinged or burnt passport of one of the so-called hijackers for that morning. But mm-hmm. all of the plane just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's amazing how dumb they think the American people are. That, in fact, of course, that the Building 7 came down at 5:20 in the evening that day, and it was obviously a controlled demolition.
It was controlled demolition.
How, of course, did Osama bin Laden get those explosives into that building? And if he didn't bring it down, who did bring it down? And
good
that
question.
Is a question we can never allow the American people to ask. We have to blindly follow what we've been told, because the alternative is just too horrible to contemplate. that there really are people who would kill almost 3,000 Americans so that we could get into a war with Iraq and Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is leading us now to a war with the Muslim world, the class of civilizations that that Samuel and Huntington wrote about and said, never, never get into that, a war with the Muslim world. There are 1.25 billion Muslims, and the only way, of course, if we get into a war with them, will be to either kill them all or we'll all be killed. And, of course, doing everything they can to get the American people to hate the Muslims, get the Muslims to hate the American people. How do they do it? They release the pictures of Abu Ghraib. I mean, they release the pictures at Guantanamo. They intentionally and purposely mistreat Muslims and torture them. Why? To get Muslims to hate America.
That's exactly what they're doing. It's us versus them, and it's psychological. They call it psyops and different, but he called it psyops, but it was, they use psychological operations and dirty tricks is another word. But they train them to do these nasty things, and so it's not surprising that some of these boys who are trained to do that batter their wives and don't make really good spouses.
No, yeah, I think you found that out much to your dismay.
Sadly, I really tried hard.
And so you were actually married about, what, 13 years?
10.
10, okay.
10.
All right, well then you weren't divorced until the year 2000.
Right, yes.
All right, fine. Well, now, what about other things other than your husband being an assassin and certainly being involved in the black ops and certainly being involved, or at least you know about the intelligence agencies and drug smuggling, at least in the Baca Valley? What about some of the other things? Did he certainly talked about the psyops operations, the mind control operations, the manipulation of the American public, creating...
Yeah, he talked about that a lot, about the... manipulation of people, talked about perception and reality and games and how easy Americans are to, he really didn't have much respect for the American people. He really felt, he feels, because he's still with us, but he just looks down on, feels so superior that there was an air, there, you know, I just felt this arrogance, and yet at the same time, I felt sorry for him because he had had such a really sad childhood and was on scholarship to the Hun School and had been treated very badly by someone there, a teacher there, and but he was on scholarship, so he couldn't do anything about it. And the Saudi royals were in the same little tiny school he was in. So he had that over Remy and Carlucci. In other words, he knew three of these Saudi royals very well.
Now, what did he think of the Saudi royals?
Well, they liked them because they were at the Hun School together. And they had a couple of German guys there who were not very normal as far as liking boys, you know, and but they were teachers and they were in Princeton, and so they were they had very elite boys in the school. They had Firestone's son and Admiral Kimmel's son, and they were doing experiments to mix wealthy Jewish boys with wealthy, you know, Anglo boys and the Saudis. They were, at that time, the Russell Trust was contributing a lot of money to the school, and they built this, they didn't build it, they bought a mansion called the Russell House. I mean, anybody can go to Hun School and see Russell House, but that's where they had the Saudi royals, and it was an experiment on these boys, you know, psychologically, I think, to get them to be friends so that they would do favors for each other later on. And then my husband went to Princeton for 4 years, and he didn't see his parents for 8 years because they were too poor, and they moved them to California. his father had been a janitor, and then he was moved out to a Boy Scout camp right near Bohemian Grove.
Well, I'm sorry, who was actually doing this? Was somebody manipulating
your
husband's parents so they could have access to him?
Yeah, they did. And they do.
And, of course,
young boys.
Okay, fine. They do this. They find those bright young people, and they manipulate them. They train them.
Like
they
Oswald.
Mold their minds. Is that a fair statement?
Like Oswald.
Right. Well, of course, I think poor old Lee Oswald really didn't understand that he was being set up as a patsy until the very last minute, and then suddenly it hit him. It was all...
And Cho, the VPI?
Who was
Virginia
that?
Virginia Tech?
I'm sorry.
He knew he was being manipulated. And he was molested by a member of his own family and then by a teacher. And he wrote about it.
Who is this now?
Cho, the one who shot all those students at Virginia Tech
last year. Okay.
And he was being, they were messing with him, but they were also, what they do when they're quiet like that and they're intelligent and they're bilingual, the 4th Marine Reserve elite group, they were recruiting him and teaching him how to shoot.
How do you know that to be a fact?
There's a photograph of him in his Marine uniform. I have copies of it. It was on the Internet for about a week. And I think, you know, you might still be able to find it. But he was there with his gun, with another Marine in his uniform. And he also had on his wrist the name of this psychiatrist who was Turkish, who specialized in training assassin boys. And I think he knew that he was being recruited, and he didn't want to be. That's what a lot of us in Virginia believe.
Well, but of course, you live in Virginia, and it was Virginia Tech that happened, but certainly he did go there and commit this atrocity.
Awful.
But do you think that he was conditioned? Do you think that he was acting under some sort of mind control orders? Was he a Manchurian candidate?
No, I think he was angry because one of the people he assassinated was not an American citizen, and a lot of us believe he was a recruiter.
I see. Okay. Well, of course, that's an entirely different story. But let's get back, of course, to the things that you learned directly from your husband, the things that he told you as you, as he was in his drunken stupors. And certainly, did he have access to a great deal of money? Did he have access to power?
What they call TDY. It's a temporary duty. And one never knows when they're going to go. A wife would not know. They just disappear.
And did he actually many times just sort of disappear on you?
Yeah, he did.
And he would go off on a mission, and then he'd come back from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly, of course, what happened to Raylan Rusbacher. So to Rusbacher's husband, he would go off on these missions, and she would never know him. And then he would come back and have these amazing stories of things he'd done. And there was no question, of course, that he was working very closely with the Chief of Naval Intelligence. And I'm sure that they all work together, all these intelligence agencies. And they're doing things that the average American has no idea what's going on. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. And if you remember, the naval, he was shot. Do you remember the... Chief of, what was he called, the Chief of Naval Operations? Remember in 1996, 97, they found him shot?
Oh, you're not talking about the Naval Admiral?
Admiral Borda.
Admiral, right.
Jeremy Borda.
And, of course, he shot supposedly because somebody had claimed he was wearing a ribbon. He wasn't supposed to. I mean, he got umpteen thousand ribbons, but supposedly one of them wasn't right, and that's why he committed suicide. And anybody believes that, it's got to be incredibly
naive. He was never without his driver, never without and just happened that day, and it was right near the time that coffee was done in, too.
Of course, you know, here was a high-ranking naval officer who supposedly committed suicide, and what did he do? He shot himself in the chest or something? It was the most incredible suicide I ever heard.
Yeah, it was bizarre. It was like Colby's murder.
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Kay Grigg. We're talking about really what she learned as the wife of a gentleman involved with black operations. And, of course, the last thing that the people working behind the scenes want is for the public to learn that nothing as it appears to be. These black operations go on without the knowledge or consent of our Congress or of our United States Senate, and it's always under the guise of secrecy because we can't let Osama bin Laden know what we're doing, or actually he would use that information to take away our freedom. Anyway, of course, okay, Sydney, as you've told part of this story in many interviews across the country, what sort of response have you gotten? And have you continue to be harassed now when you're on radio programs, or
well,
have they
no,
decided to let you go?
I'm a very strong Christian, and I've lived in the same place all my life, really, here in Virginia, and I have a lot of friends and garden clubs, and I guess it's for me, I've sort of been here all my life, and when I married George, he was the chief of staff for Al Gray, who was the commandant, a real unusual Marine Corps commandant, very unusual one. But anyway, so I'm, you know, we're all going to go sometime. But I had a wonderful dad, and he said that, and I believe I loved Jefferson and Madison and Monroe, and I'm a real believer in being stalwart and truthful and walking in the light and following Jesus Christ and his example, you know, when he went into the temple, because he did get really mad at moneylenders and people who were duping the innocent women and so forth, the old people. So I just tell the truth and did what Sarah McClendon told me to do, is to tell the truth and tell as many people as you can. Just walk in the light.
Well, you've certainly been doing that for some years, and your story has gotten out, and we'll get into more of that, of course, during the next hour, and, of course, we'll open up our lines for calls, and I think it's important that we get as much of your story out as we possibly can, because there are not very many people who have the courage to come forward and tell what they know, because, of course, most of them realize they're going to come under tremendous pressure, and if you don't have an intense belief in the Lord, you'd be frightened to death. And certainly, many of the things that we bring out here, you know, a lot of people won't talk about. But of course, why bother to be on the radio if you can't tell the truth? And I have to look to the Lord to protect us. We'll be back here in just a moment with Kay Griggs. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we need to remind our listeners of Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And of course, we're bringing the information they're not going to get elsewhere because the media is controlled. There are actually five mega corporations that control 90 to 95% of the major media. Fortunately, we can buy time on small independent stations. And, of course, many of the stations agree with what we're doing and actually give us a tremendous financial break. But still, it's an expensive proposition to be on shortwave and on the Internet and on satellite and on radio stations. If you'd like to know more about our shortwave programs, you can go to our website, and our shortwave frequencies are posted there. If you're interested, of course, in the Internet, you can listen to us 5 hours a day. And if you want to get a Wi-Fi radio, if you have Wi-Fi in your home, you can get a Wi-Fi radio, and you can listen to us any place in the immediate vicinity. We will be offering those Wi-Fi radios. And, of course, shortwave, you can get us, get the information and help us to disseminate it. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get our talk on the planned police state. That's the planned police state, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. Excellent syllabus, even if I do say so. We have a talk called the Forbidden Secret. That's the Forbidden Secret, and of course, there's a syllabus that goes with that. You see, behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. And, of course, what most people don't understand is this is not imaginary. It is really very, very real, and there are divisions within the military that has actually tried to tap into the supernatural dimension. If you're a Christian, you have to believe in the supernatural. But what, unfortunately, many of our ministers will not talk about is the truly demonic organizations that are here also in the supernatural realm, where the true battle for the survival of Christian civilization is being fought. And if you want to get into some of this, we certainly have a four-tape set called The Supernatural, and it goes, the book that goes with that is The Beautiful Side of Evil, written by Johanna Michelson, who was a medium who spent many years working within psychic surgery until she suddenly realized that all these miracles she was seeing, true miracles, were demonic in nature. You want to get the book Hostage to the Devil, written by Malachi Martin, and the four-tape set we have interviews with Malachi Martin called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, where he talks about his book The Windswept House, written as fiction, but based basically on truth and about the Satanism within the Catholic Church. And even the satanic rituals slaying, it was a feigned slaying, but it was in the basement of the Vatican to correspond with a real human sacrifice elsewhere. Malachi Martin describes it in his book, describes it in his tape, and told me off the air that it really had occurred, but of course he could not give the names for fear of being sued. He died not too long after we completed our last interview, as so many things happen over very, very strange. Anyway, of course, we have, of course, a book called Satanic Crimes. It goes into the Bilderbergers, one of the most powerful groups in the world are the Bilderbergers, the Satanic Crimes, four-tape set on Satanic Crimes. We have a book called of a Devil Hunter, something that anyway, if you ask for the book on the Devil Hunter, why, of course, we have that. A fellow deeply involved in Satanism came out, became a Christian. Diary of a Devil Hunter is the title of the book. And he goes around to police forces all across the country, tries to tell them what's going on, and immediately the FBI sends their expert out to say it's not true. There are no satanic groups in America. It's all a lie, just like for so many years. J. Edgar Hoover, who was a 33rd degree Mason and deeply involved in the occult, and he himself was a homosexual. But you're never going to hear that from regular sources. J. Edgar Hoover, for years, kept insisting that there was no mafia in the United States. There was no centralized Cosa Nostra mafia organization. That's why he refused to investigate them. Of course, the real reason was because they had pictures of him involved in questionable activity. We'll be polite and say that. We can't let the American people know. But it's, fortunately, we have the Internet. You can check many of these stories out on your own. And if you find that we're true, what we're saying is true, then we hope that you'll join us in this truly epic spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring, and we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and again, for the second hour, there'll be the views of Kay Grieg, who is married to a colonel, a Marine colonel, but of course she really wasn't simply a Marine colonel. He was part of this black operations, secrets, dark side of government that has exists, and of course unknown to most Americans, certainly unknown to the members of the legislature. Very few of them know what's really going on behind the scenes. Our congressmen don't know. Our senators don't know. These people operate with black budgets. Much of it comes from drug smuggling. And they see nothing wrong with this because, of course, they are the elite who really rule America. Indeed, their ultimate goal is to rule the world. And they've established an American empire. What most Americans don't understand is we have, you know, actually, military bases in 130 nations. We have over 700 military bases overseas. And if you don't think that we control who gets elected where, we're replacing governments throughout the world with Marxist governments. We can't let the American people know that. Let me give you an example. In Zimbabwe, it used to be Rhodesia, the government of Mugabe was brought to power by Henry Kissinger. The people there had voted, had a free open election, elected a moderate black man, Bishop Mezuweo. He wasn't adequate for our government. We wanted a hardcore Marxist in there, and Henry Kissinger and the American government put all sorts of embargoes on Rhodesia and then promised Rhodesia that they would put up $1.2 billion to buy up the white farms so they could redistribute the land to the blacks, and promised that if there were ever a problem in Rhodesia, we would come to their rescue. And that, so they agreed to go along with Mugabe. Of course, they cooked the elections to get him in. Mugabe set out in a reign of terror, killed about 15,000 people, thanks to the American State Department that puts him there. Today, of course, Rhodesia is a nation in where over 5 million people have fled the country. It was only about 11 million people to begin with. Of course, they're killing people there. They're torturing to death. And, of course, they're being kept in power by the Chinese communists who we are funding and subsidizing. And people can't understand that we put Mugabe in power. We've kept him in power. But we can't let the American people know that any more than we can let them know. We brought the communist regime to power in South Africa, communist regime to power in Southwest Africa, communist regime to power in Nicaragua, communist regime to power in Cuba. Oh, yes, Fidel Castro was brought to power by the American government. And if you doubt that, you need to see my DVD called The World Revolution. That's the World Revolution. And there you'll see my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, a billionaire who was the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the Cuban Revolution, telling you that we brought Fidel Castro to power knowing he was a communist. And we've kept him in power ever since then. We can't let the American people know that. Or that that David Rockefeller's daughter, one of his daughters, a very close friend of Fidel Castro, where David Rockefeller's met with Fidel Castro. I'm sure they sat around just laughing at how stupid the American people are. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, there are forces out there that most people don't know about. Well, our guest this evening, Kate Grieg, has certainly been on the front lines from the other side, and she had an opportunity to learn a lot about what was going on from her husband, and we're going to open up our lines for calls. If you'd like to call and ask Kay a question, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And as you know, Kay was married to a man who professed to be a Marine colonel, but he was tied into all of the black operations, into the White House, into the dark side of government. Well, Kay, it must have been a very interesting life to meet all of these prominent people from throughout the world coming. Were they house guests of yours, or you put dinners on for them? How did you meet
someone? Yeah, it was because I had been to an Episcopal girls' school, St. Margaret's, in Tappahannock, and we had teachers from other countries, and students, and I really enjoy learning about other cultures, and you know, I just was inclined to appreciate people from other places. So, and being a Virginian, it was my pleasure to entertain them. And I learned a lot from them. So I really enjoyed meeting all these people.
But of course, your husband must have had an awful lot of important contacts throughout the world.
Oh, yeah, he did. He was in Indonesia with Wolfowitz and setting up things there with the military. Which were not...
What were they doing over in Indonesia? Of course, this was the time Suharto was in power, so that he got rid of Sukarno back in the, I guess, in the early mid-60s, somewhere in there, and they killed about 3 million communists in the process. And of course, the communists don't understand that the whole communist movement is financed by the very people who finance the anti-communist movement. So many gullible people out there, they really don't see how the world really lines up. But certainly, as you were analyzed this from the insider's point of view, you could see how your husband, who obviously had very, very high contacts in this whole dark world, was interfacing with all of these world leaders. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. And I believe that basically Dick Armitage had the total sort of control. He and Negroponte and so forth, because they were in the State Department, and they would pretty much decide who would come to whom.
Now, of course, for those people who don't know, that she's referring to herself to Richard Armitage, currently the Undersecretary of State. Certainly during the 1990s, he was deeply involved with the drug operations and was named by Kunsaw, who was the head of the heroin-growing or opium-growing group in Burma, as the chief American contact, who was buying their, buying up heroin and bring it into the United States. And of course, he wasn't even paying very much for it. And he was working at that time as an advisor in the Reagan White House. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Kay was simply telling us about how exciting it was, really, while she was married to this Marine Corps colonel, to meet people from all over the world. Her husband had contacts with key people in not only in our own government, but throughout the world. And, of course, she was mentioning Dick Armitage. Well, of course, Dick Armitage certainly seemed to be one of the major manipulators of this whole thing. We know from personal contact with Colonel Oliver North that Armitage was Oliver North's closest friend when they were at Annapolis together. Armitage was deeply involved in the drug trade. He's been named.
And they were practically at the bottom of their class, interestingly enough. And North was very corrupt, that, even at Annapolis, because he went in and stole his demerit list, broke into the office at night, and his senior classmen let him get away with it. But he was not a very ethical person ever. And I liked him, you know, when he stood up, and I just didn't. It was before I, or during the time, you know, when I first met George, but he, in other words, North was wrestling Jim Webb, and they were rivals, Jim Webb and North, but I believe Webb has a much stronger moral fiber. I'm sure people will disagree with me, but I've heard them talk, but when I found out about North breaking in, trying to steal his demerit list so that he would look better, that told me a lot about his character.
Well, of course, Colonel Oliver North has got great publicity among the conservatives. We all love him. Unfortunately, of course, he was deeply involved with a plan to suspend the Constitution and round up Americans in case there was a national emergency. And, of course, this was brought out at the Iran-Contra hearings. We have the footage from that in something called The Amazing Clips. amazing clips available from Radio Liberty, or you'll actually see that in my talk on the planned police state. And actually, Oliver North made out the plans for a dictatorship in America, but they can't let the American people know that those plans are in place, and in case of a problem, why they'll simply suspend the Constitution, habeas corpus, and begin rounding up people in America. Well,
no,
we've got Charles waiting from on Harlem in New York. Hi, Charles. How are you doing tonight?
How are you, Dr. Stanton? Thank you very much for what you do on your show. Hi, Ms. Griggs. How are you?
Hi there. How are you?
I wanted to just, I caught the tail end of, I got three questions, the tail end of why your husband was assassinated.
No, he was an assassin. He wasn't assassinated.
He wasn't? Okay.
He was an assassin, but he was not assassinated.
I misunderstood. And number two, please tell me, I caught the very tail end of CIA Director Colby, why he was assassinated. And three, this is a, you may not be able to answer this, is when we see top officials going to other countries to speak with their counterparts, maybe the Queen comes to see the President, or national security agents go over to China to see their counterparts, what can we derive from that? Because they don't need to travel to see each other. They can just, pick up the phone. Can you help me with that? And I'll whistle off the air.
All right, fine. Thanks so much, Charles. That's Charles calling from Harlem. The first question was about Colby. I mean, why was Colby done in? For our listeners out there, Colby, of course, was the head of the CIA for a number of years. He'd been involved with Operation Phoenix over there in Vietnam, where they killed between 40 and 60,000 Vietnamese civilians. And simply, all you had to do if you wanted to get rid of somebody you didn't like, just report them to the Americans as being a sympathizer with the Viet Cong. The Americans would arrest them, torture them to death, kill them, and kill their family members as well. Operation Phoenix, you're never going to read about this, but you can go up on the Internet, look up Operation Phoenix, and Colby was definitely part of that. So, but then, of course, he came back. He became head of the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency. Most people do not understand the Vietnam War was a CIA-run war, just exactly as the Iraq and the Afghan wars are largely run by the Central Intelligence Agencies that has their own military teams over there. But they can't tell the American people that. We're supposed to think our valiant soldiers, and our soldiers are valiant. They're fighting. They really believe in what they're doing. They don't understand. They're simply pawns in a vicious game. But anyway, Colby, of course, came back. He's head of the CIA. And then apparently there was a lot of people knew Colby, and they really liked him. And he was going to blow the whistle on a lot of things going on in the CIA. He was actually writing a book about the CIA.
He did. Also, he appeared before Congress, and he spill the beans about what he called, it's all very Masonic, but he called it the family jewels, even though he was Colby was a Roman Catholic, but he also went to Princeton, and Dulles went to Princeton. There was a very small Princeton CIA group that centered around Dulles, and some think that they had something to do with the Kennedy murder, because there were a lot of people who felt that Kennedy was too honest in that he did not want to continue the war in Vietnam, and he wanted to get rid of the assassinations, and even though but Colby literally appeared before both houses of Congress and told the church committee about the family jewels, about the 21 attempted murders of Castro, the murder of the head of Dominican Republic,
Trujillo,
and the murder of Lumumba, and
don't forget Diem and Nua there in Vietnam.
Yes, but he was older, and when people get older, like Forrestal was getting ready, he was telling the truth, and FDR was, I believe he was done in by someone who was the Treasury Secretary who visited him the night before. And
you're talking about James Forrestal, the Secretary of the Navy.
Yes, and he, the same person, the same Treasury person, was the last one seen with him, as well as FDR.
And supposedly he jumped out a window there.
Yeah.
Wearing
but they tell the truth when they see the light and they realize that they're going to die anyway because somebody's going to murder them.
And of course, the Forrestal diary to this day, James Forrestal's diary has been in the National Archives. They will never release it. Of course, they let somebody look at it, then they let him write a text of it. Why wouldn't anybody see James Forrestal's diary? Why is it still? Well, it goes back to 19, it's well over almost 60 years since it was put in the National Archives. We can't let it out, though. We can't, of course, because Osama bin Laden would learn about that, and of course, Osama wants to take away our freedom, and so we're going to keep a lot of the information having to do with Pearl Harbor under wraps indefinitely. And the information on the assassination of President Kennedy, we can't release that information. We certainly can't let the American people know the testimony of 1,100 people before the Iran-Contra hearings. I should not say, I'm sorry, the 9/11 Commission. There were 1,200 people who testified in secret. 100 appeared publicly, and the other 1,100 who knew what happened on September 11th. Their testimony was sealed for 50 years, because, of course, we wouldn't want the families to be upset by having the truth come out about how their people, their families, were killed. 1,100 bodies of the almost 2,700 people lost in the Twin Towers, 1,100 of those bodies had never been found. And questioned, were they smashed as the building pancaked, or were they vaporized when the building exploded and created all that, those tremendous clouds of smoke? All you need to do is ask yourself, how could you lose 1,100 bodies in the Twin Towers? Well, let's go ahead, Kay, because I really want to get your story out about your husband. And do you have any idea why they killed Colby at that time? Certainly,
well, yes, because
many years
everything
previously.
Was, if you remember, Clinton had refused to meet with Netanyahu, and he was meeting only with Arafat. And that was exactly the time that Michael Isikoff and Lucianne Goldberg let out the story about Monica, which everybody knew, which they already knew, because the film had come out long before that with the girl with the beret called the Wag the Dog or whatever it was. So the point is they were very angry with Clinton for not meeting with Netanyahu. And the Meir Kahane was murdered by, you know, the group that was involved with the first World Trade Center bombing.
Kahane was the head of the Jewish, a very conservative Jewish group.
Yeah, with an Orthodox group who believed in murder and terrorism and assassination. So it was, in other words, there's a lot of, you know, religious hatred, but there's a lot of murder that goes on by these groups, and I don't believe Christ would have murdered anybody.
I don't think he would have done that either. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question for Kay, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Colby, former head of the CIA, was, of course, done in. Many people think it was because he was writing a book and was going to tell the truth about the CIA and their black operations and their plans of murder and assassination, which they carry out to this very day. And we're going to be back.
And Casey had a very strange ending, too.
What was that?
William Casey.
Right. We'll be back in just a moment. Right here at Radio Liberty. All right, Kay, we'll just go ahead. Of course, Casey was supposedly died of a lymphoma of his brain. Casey had been the head of the CIA during the Reagan administration, and his wife, of course, wanted to bring out the truth about the Iran-Contra hearings and the Iran-Contra deal, and everything was done to make her appear to be some sort of a nut. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling here from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Do you have a question or a comment for our guest?
Yes. Okay. I have a question about William Colby. I understand that he was involved in trying to find out about the Franklin cover-up.
Yes, he was. Sarah McClendon mentioned that he was a good guy. He had turned around and he was trying to stop the institutionalized malevolent culture. In other words, it had really become very corrupt, the CIA.
And for our listeners out there who don't know what the Franklin cover-up was, it was, of course, a pedophile ring. It started in Boys Town, Nebraska. It involved people at the highest levels of our government, and kidnapping not only boys from Boys Town but elsewhere, and taking them to Washington, D.C., where they were used in pedophilia activities. And, of course, it involved a gentleman from the Franklin Bank, and who I think is actually in prison today. But Senator John DeCamp, who is from Nebraska, had actually written this book. It's called The Franklin Cover-Up. And, of course, this pedophile ring went into the White House itself, the highest levels of government, Congress, but they can't let the American people know about that. And so basically, what was Colby's relationship? Was he trying to investigate that story and expose this pedophile ring?
Well, all of that was beginning to come out. I happened to mention how my husband was done that way, recruited. That's what they say. They call it recruited that way. In other words, they take these boys and they molest them. If you want to read about it, William Manchester wrote about the way the German high-level command did it, and they would take little boys and into the Isle of Capri and the Blue Grotto and do this to them. The priest would sort of break the boys in groups, and then they would use them depending on what the boys could do, you know, but it would be blackmail, and that's exactly what happened to my husband. And there have been probably, if you look on the internet, there are over 50 high-level Republicans and Democrats who have been involved with pedophilia and so forth, raping young children, and I think that Colby was beginning to bring this out because they've wanted to keep it quiet, you know, and just blame the Catholic Church.
There was a man named Gary Caradori, who was an investigator, who was hired by, I believe, Lawrence Schmidt, state senator.
Uh-huh.
And he died in a plane crash with his son, and it was a very unusual plane crash, you know, because the plane didn't crash. It blew up in midair, and they reported it as having crashed. And, you know, I read something about it, and the whole thing was really, it led right up to the White House, so it must have been somebody really high up that wanted to.
But believe me, Ray, this happens all the time. Hang on here, we'll be back in just a moment with Kay. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Kay Grigg, and Chris says he knew a lot of the people who were involved, the movers and shakers of our society, because he was, her husband was deeply involved in the black operations. Our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to Kay, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Ray from Santa Cruz was calling, asking about the relationship between Colby and trying to uncover the Franklin cover-up. Franklin cover-up was a pedophile ring. It really began in Nebraska, Boys Town, and involved, of course, people, some of them, one of the people from the Franklin Bank, who were actually kidnapping these boys and taking them to Washington, D.C., where they were used for pedophilia, and, of course, it's so difficult for people to understand that this sort of thing is not imaginary, it's real. Certainly as far as the Bilderbergers is concerned, that story is told in its completeness in a book we carry, and a four-tape set on satanic crimes. Satanic crimes, that's only one of the satanic crimes, but here are the Bilderbergers, the wealthiest people in the world, who really run America. I mean, they picked Bill Clinton, he went to their meeting, and the next thing we knew, he was President of the United States. And, of course, they've done this with many of the leaders. Of course, Hillary's been to those meetings as well. There's only maybe 150 of them, but they are powerful beyond belief. And, of course, there is a pedophilia, strong pedophilia and satanic element within the Bilderbergers. But we can't let the American people even know about the Bilderbergers, much more about the spiritual forces that motivate them. Ray, did you have another question for our guest?
Well, you know, you've mentioned before, Dr. Stan, that they let Dr. Mengele come over here. And, that's rather frightening to think that that man was over here and used by the CIA, to help them in their mind control program. Is there any truth to that?
Absolutely. They brought over thousands of former, Nazi scientists and so forth. Many of them were fine people in their field, but the secrecy of Operation Paperclip, and there were thousands of them brought over to Fort Hunt and the whole, Noble Canaris and Galen and so forth.
Mm.
But they were written about by William Manchester in his book, The Arms of Krupp. And there's a section in that book about the pedophilia of the high-level military and how they were, doing this, and how they, if the wives knew about it and they talked about it, they would just put the wives in mental institutions.
Oh, my goodness sakes.
But at the very top of the high command, it was normal. And I believe it's normal because we know that Ted Bundy was a very popular Republican driver of Republican National Committee people for years.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Ted Bundy. So
he was, of course, the multiple murderer killed. I don't know.
Yeah, but why don't more people connect the dots?
Well, I think it's that people don't want to connect the dots because it gets you out of your comfort zone. It means that you either have to totally ignore evil or you have to stand against it, and most people don't want to stand against it. Well, Ray, of course, you were asking about the relationship between what's going on between these pedophilia rings. That's a Franklin cover-up, and we will be carrying that book here. We're going to make that available. We think it's an important book. People have to have that along with the book, The Satanic Crimes, to really understand the degree of evil that exists today in our society. Anything else, Ray, you want to say before we let you go?
Not much. I just think this election is a farce. And,
it really is. Of course, they control both the Democrat and the Republican parties, but they have to give the American people the idea that they can go to the polls and vote the rascals out. But, of course, it doesn't make a bit of difference because, of course, they control both sides.
Yeah.
And all of them are going to go along with of course,
that's
ever more
right.
government. All of them are going to go along with globalism and the destruction of America's national sovereignty. All of them are eventually going to go along with continuing the war in the Middle East and expanding the war in the Middle East. And all of them, of course, will go along.
We're $9 trillion in debt.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
$9 trillion. My brain won't even wrap around that number.
Okay, that's about all I had.
Very fine. Thank you very much.
You.
Of course, that was Ray calling from Santa Cruz, and we've got a couple of other people on the line we'll be getting to in just a moment. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California, our guest is Kay Griggs, and you can look her up on the Internet. Of course, a fascinating story about her knowledge of the inner workings of the dark side of government. We'll be back here in just a moment. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Dan?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Of course, the question was asked certainly by somebody. Why do the people from our country, go to visit their counterparts in other countries? Why don't they just pick up the phone and call them? Any ideas on that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
All right.
I think I understand why. Because people in the Department of State and military, they love travel. And it's all paid for by the taxpayers. And they have wonderful trips and big banquets and special tours and, you know, I mean, sometimes ladies of the night, you know, they, it's really, to me, the amount of money that's spent on travel is, you would not believe the amount of travel that even we did when my husband was with NATO.
Okay, if I want, let's go to Jack, who's calling from Michigan. Jack, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. Wondering if she has any knowledge of whether the Vatican had any influence in directing the JFK murder, and also whether she's aware of JFK's statement in a speech, I guess 10 days before CIA had him murdered, that he was going to terminate the CIA into 1,000 pieces.
All right, fine. Let's ask this question. Thanks so much, Jack. And
yes, ahead. In fact, one of the interesting things around here, because I'm in the military capital of the world here in Hampton Roads, and I've been here all my life, and the Vatican and the Jesuit order, and particularly in Italy, the P2, which is a Masonic lodge, has been very involved with Marchenkis, who was involved with the Chicago mob. And in other words, he was in the Vatican, and he, as I understand it, controlled the treasury, or a huge amount of money that was for black operations. And in Italy, from the time of Mussolini, and if you may not know that he had been a Marxist, but he was also very popular in the United States.
Who is this now?
Mussolini.
All right, fine.
Because there was a statue of him dedicated way back in the 1920s at VMI,
right,
where George Marshall went.
Right.
So he was...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Okay. At Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Curtis Joanna. Pardon me. Kay was simply talking about Mussolini. And Mussolini, the head of the fascist movement, was very popular here in the United States in the 20s and 30s. The slogan was, he made the trains run on time. And if you read the writings of Colonel Edward Mandel House, he was a great admirer of Mussolini, because he was deeply involved in the occult, founding member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the man who controlled Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And if you've never, of course, gone into the background of Colonel House, it's well worthwhile. But what everybody has missed about Colonel House, of course, is that he was a mystic. And he was able to control people's minds. And, of course, until you understand that he was deeply involved in the occult, you can't understand the man who controlled Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So these are things that most people are totally unaware of. Well, let's go to Johanna, who's calling in from Martinez in California. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Kay, do you have a website or anything you'd like to get out?
No, but I understand that the interview that I did with Pastor Strawcutter is all over the internet. If they Google just KAYGRIGGS.
In fact, I've read that. Rick Strawcutter is, of course, a friend of ours, and
he's a wonderful man.
Is there anything that you've told him that you haven't told us yet?
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. But to get back to that, the former head of Italy, Cossiga, C-O-S-S-I-G-A, he, I think people would be shocked to read the kinds of things that he has written, told about the Gladio, the assassin squad that NATO has. He believed that 9-1-1 was an inside job. And here's the Prime Minister of Italy, a former one, for years from, I think, I don't know, I think it was something like 15 or 17 years.
All right.
So if you, and I mean, I know my field is history and the Reformation, and I know that there was even a female pope, and certain popes had children. Certainly, there's been a lot of intrigue within the Vatican.
And I think there's no question at all that there is an element within the Vatican and with the Jesuit order who are part of what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness, and they tie into these occult organizations. But then they tie in, of course, to the Masons, P2 is a Masonic Lodge. What's a Masonic Lodge having to do with the Masonry? They are all part of this Brotherhood, and they're the elements within the upper echelons of the Christian Church, the Protestant Church, within the Jewish Church. They certainly work through the Skull and Bones and through these various secret societies and the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome, certainly, the Bohemian Grove. They, of course, get into the Rosicrucians. Yes, you can look them up on the Internet. They have Rosicrucian websites. They have websites for the Theosophists. This is a Luciferian organization. The Lucius Trust used to be the Lucifer Publishing House, even has a website up there. Because every time I talk about them, why, of course, they pull those things down. But fortunately, we have them all. Some of the richest men in the world are affiliated with the Lucius Trust and their front organizations. One of the two richest men that at least people believe is involved. We have their material pointing out how they and their trust are financing the new group of world servers, which is a front for this Luciferian organization. Well, let's go to Johanna, who's calling from Martinez. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Johanna, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you for an interesting interview. Ms. Griggs, do I understand that your ex-husband is still alive?
Yes.
What, if any, have been the consequences for him with your going public with all this? I don't think the answer up yet.
Well, he was married before me, and he battered her. And I believe that because he did the same thing, he had what is called post-traumatic stress, and one never knew what would set him off, you know, what would cause him to just be like an animal. It's in the interview that I did with Pastor Strawcutter, but I believe, this is what I believe, that his friends suspected what was going on with Sue, with his first wife. And I think when I was trying to get help for him and trying to just understand the things that he was telling me and so forth, I think they just wanted him to lay low.
And so basically there were no, nothing happened to him after your divorce, after you...
No, I believe that he arranged the visit of the French president to New Hampshire. Because he likes to do that kind of thing.
You're talking, this is Sakharov's...
I believe he was the main person in charge of that.
All right, fine. So basically, because these people work behind the scenes, and they certainly they coordinated in their efforts. These are the people who really rule the world. There is a group that rule the world, and anybody who thinks that there is not true pretty has little idea.
It's a very small group, too.
Right.
This is the amazing thing. When you realize that there, you have the Annapolis small group, the Princeton small group, and then the Marine Corps, 4th Marine Elite Group, which Cord Meyer, who was number 3 in the CIA, was involved with some dirty tricks and so forth, and his wife was murdered. and it was covered up by Angleton and others.
Why do you think that was? Do you think that the husband murdered her or what?
No, she had been having an affair with Kennedy, and they were divorcing, and she had a diary. And it was, and her sister was married to Ben Bradley, who was another Marine. Carson was a Marine, and Baker, and John Warner, and Cord Meyer, and Ben Bradley. So, you know, there's a very small group high up, and they want to protect each other.
Of course, Ben Bradley was the editor of the Washington Post, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Right, and so that's how, of course, they use the media to, they control the media. Ultimately,
yeah.
They control what the American people read and what they hear and what they see. And the CIA has people platted in the media. They send these generals out all over the world, you know, supposedly independently. They're actually all under CIA control. And certainly anybody who doubts that they have journalists platted in the media to control what we think has only, of course, to read the book by Lieutenant General William Odom, General William Odom, and in that book, Fixing Intelligence, he can't really tell us what's going on, but he can ask questions. Should the CIA have journalists planted in the media? And he also said, should the CIA be assassinating people? Should the Defense Department be collecting dossiers on American citizens? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they are collecting dossiers on you. Certainly they do have people planted in the media, and of course they certainly assassinate people to this very day. Of course, they don't do it themselves. They hire professional assassins, and then they can say, why, we would never do anything like that. We would never torture anybody. We would never have anybody assassinated. And they simply lie because most Americans are good people.
Plausible deniability.
Right.
But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
All right, fine. Why are you hopeful, Kay? Because
well,
you're
I believe that looking at what Jesus Christ did, one person, or Martin Luther, or one person, and Christ said, where two or three are gathered together, there's light. And I believe in the concept of justice and truth and light, and it's powerful. And I think courage, if God is very upset if anyone is fearful, because fear is a sin, because if you are fearful, you really don't believe in God. And I do, and I think that we're all going to go sometime, but there's nothing more miserable than living with dark, awful secrets, and because that perpetuates them. And in order to cure something, we need light. We need strong voices, mother's voices. And, I mean, everybody knows what happened to Martha Mitchell, but we remember her kindly. And we know she was very brave and courageous. And so I really think that my daddy taught me well, and he would stand up for little people. And I think we all need to do that and just think of our children and our children's children and do it for them.
Amen to that. Well, I think that God must be preserving you. Otherwise, why, I don't think you'd be doing what you're doing any more than I think that we would be doing what we were doing unless we were in
God's
favor.
Well, God bless you.
Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, there's a small group of people out there really getting the information out. You mentioned Pastor Rick Strawcutter, and there in Pennsylvania. You know, I think he's doing a great job.
He's in Michigan.
Oh, in Michigan. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, and we've got to give him a call, and he's sort of an isolated area there, and he has his own radio station, and he uses that, at least in his community, to let people know what's going on. And the last thing that the people on the dark side want is, of course, to get the truth out.
Yeah, it really, I think they remind me of animals hiding behind trees and under bushes. They're basically a coward, I believe. Because an honorable man honorable people would never contemplate doing that kind of thing. They'd want to solve problems with, I mean, this eye for eye thing is just not good.
Well, of course, I mean, the fact that they actually have teams of assassins and they go around eliminating people who get in the way, and of course they always make it look like an accident, like a suicide, like a plane just accidentally blows up in the sky. And of course, it was one of the senators, of course, who opposed, I've forgotten what it was, Senator Wellstone.
Paul Wellstone was done in.
Why was he done in? What was he doing?
Well, what was interesting to me, before he had it, the...
He was one of the two senators who voted against something. Was that the Patriot Act? What was it?
Yeah, he stood alone on a bill, but the quadruple... This was over landmines. Diana, Bill Cosby, Sonny Bono, and John Denver. Bill Cosby's son was neutralized, and these four had come out as a critical mass, spoken out against landmines. The critical mass had formed. There was a Nobel Peace Prize that was won, and within 2 months, Bill Cosby's son, Ennis, was murdered by one of these teams. They usually, they're a duo, and they found out who did it, and he was from another country who came in through Mexico, and then Sonny Bono spoke out, and then so did who was the other one? John Denver and Lady Diana. She walked in the minefields, and 2 weeks later or so. But if you are not supposed, making landmines is a very, very lucrative business in Texas.
Well, that's,
and other places.
That's really very, very interesting. I'm sure that many of these people are really done in. And the thing is, how would you ever know? They control the investigation, and they tell you what happened, and we're supposed to agree with it. Well, our telephone number, again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California, our guest is Kay Griggs, who suddenly, of course, lived this whole thing with her husband, and, of course, eventually left him. She went then to live with Sarah McLennan, who had had an opportunity to interview several times before she died, and talked to her off the air many times. She was the sort of the dean of White House correspondence. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, she was. She had been with more presidents as a press car, White House press person, and I lived with her at her place in the Kennedy One, and drove her around. We went in and out of the Clinton White House for press briefings, and she was just absolutely wonderful, and I met a lot of people through her, and she literally saved my life, and I think it's like passing on a light. When someone does something very wonderful for you, you owe it to somebody else to risk your life. Sarah risked her life so many times for little people. And I know there are many, many military wives who've gone through what I've gone through, and some of them have not made it because they didn't have lawyers, or they corrupt judges and corrupt lawyers, and my heart just goes out to people who stand tall.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and I appreciate the fact that you have been willing to go on the air and to tell your story about, certainly, about the black operations that you knew your husband was involved in, as he would simply mysteriously disappear at times and go off on these, of course, these murderous rampages one place or another throughout the world. It's so difficult for people to really believe this goes on. We have a book written by another man from the inside. His name is John Perkins. We know he's real because the State Department has a whole section up on their internet site under disinformation. State Department Disinformation, John Perkins. Check it out. And we carry his book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and how, of course, he was involved in getting all these countries throughout the world indebted to the United States, employing our large corporations. And then, of course, as the leaders didn't want to go along with it, why, of course, they would try to bribe them. If they couldn't bribe them, why, of course, they'd have a war to get them overthrown, or why, they'd simply assassinate them. And he talked openly about the assassination of world leaders that he was part and parcel of. Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. The book, the four tapes that are available from Radio Liberty. Understand, this is not imaginary, it's real. Check it out. Prove us wrong. You won't be able to.
Thank you, Stan.
Well, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program, Kay. What would you like to say for the next 3 minutes?
Well, I'm very hopeful. I believe that they're good people and strong women. I'm a mostly Scottish ancestry, and I had two very intelligent, strong grandmothers who were good shooters and rode horses and padded and painted and were wonderful people. And I think having a government by a cabal who are accountable for the wars that are being run, it's a bad thing because they're cowards. And I think there are intelligent women out there who, and I'm not advocating anybody in particular, but I believe that we need strong, intelligent, moral people who care about their children and who have empathy, but who are strong at the same time. And I could just whip anybody, you know, on an open field where it's fair. And we need justice, and we need people to stand tall, like good Texans and Virginians, and cry for justice.
Well, I think you're doing a great job, Kay, and I just
Thank
hope
you.
You keep getting your information.
You
out.
Are too, Stan.
All right. Well, God bless you.
God bless you, and God bless America. God bless good people all over the world, and I just feel as if good people can do things if we have light in this dark, slithery, on these dark, slithery creatures we call leaders who aren't leaders.
Well, what we have to do is get the information out. That's what Radio Liberty is all about. And I hope
you
encourage people to get on our internet site and pull down our program. Your program will be posted there for 6 weeks. There at RadioLiberty.com. God bless. Thanks so much, Kay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. And that was Kay Grigg. Hope you enjoyed our program with her. And she's a very courageous lady. She could, of course, keep quiet about what she knew. But, of course, because she spoke out, she had death threats. And she did go to live with Sarah McLennan. I know that because I talked to Sarah McLennan about her before Sarah passed away. And, of course, if you want to hear Sarah, we have her on one of our four tape sets. And she's at a White House briefing asking Bill Clinton about the drugs at MENA Airport being flown in. And Bill Clinton is saying, well, that wasn't me. I was just the governor of the state of Arkansas at the time. That was a federal operation. That was a federal operation, the drugs at MENA Airport. We'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up tonight's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need to remind you all that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you can help us, well, I would sure love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you want to get the material that we have. And, of course, if you'd like to, of course, to know how to protect your home in case it was a nuclear or biological chemical attack, the video you need to get is Sheltering in Place. That's Sheltering in Place, a DVD. We have a four-tape set on civilian defense. We have a book entitled Making the Best of Basics. What do you do if there, you don't have gas and electricity and all those things? How do you begin to survive as your grandparents did, 100 years ago? Well, of course, that's Making the Best of Basics. Another book we carry is Nuclear War Survival Skills. That's Nuclear War Survival Skills. And course, if you get that, you can get a little kit that'll tell you how to make an inexpensive radiation meter. But people need to begin making preparations to look for themselves. If you need information on stored food, things like emergency food, dehydrated food, and you'd like to get a catalog, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We'd be glad to send you a health catalog. We'd be glad to send you an emergency food catalog or a regular catalog. We'd be glad to send it to you on a CD-ROM. It's a lot easier for us. And of course, you can certainly just plug that into your computer if you've got a computer. And if you don't, why, we'd be glad to send you if you specifically request for the printed ones, otherwise you get a CD-ROM. But it's important that you get this information and help us to get it out across America. If you haven't, of course, heard my talk on the planned police state, you need to get it. There's a syllabus that goes with that. My talk on the forbidden secret, you need to get that, and there's a syllabus that goes with it. If you want to understand how they're poisoning our children, why you need to get the hidden agenda, it's a DVD, and there's a syllabus that goes with that called The Hidden Agenda, and we have a 4-tape sets on water fluoridation. We have DVDs on water fluoridation. We have an excellent book on water fluoridation. And then, of course, if you want to understand the pathological obesity, why, of course, we have our two DVDs on aspartame. One is called Sweet Misery. The other is called, Sweet Misery. I would suggest the one. If you're only going to get one, get Sweet Remedy. That's Sweet Remedy. And then we have our 4-tape set on aspartame. And it explains to you, of course, this is carcinogenic. One reason why cancer is increasing so dramatically, since this was put in our food, it produces pathological obesity. It has an effect on your mind. It creates convulsions. It influences your thyroid. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that these people know exactly what they're doing. And they're destroying the lives of our people. And then, of course, mercury. We have material on mercury. We have 4-tape sets on mercury. We have DVDs on mercury. We have a book on mercury. Evidence of harm going into the autism epidemic. They're destroying the minds of our children. Why would anybody do that? Well, of course, you need to hear my talk on Nundare College genocide. You need to hear my talk on planned population reduction. You need to hear my talk on population control. And you need to get the information. Certainly, you can go to our website and pull down our population control agenda monograph, or if you get into the other items, you can ask for a copy of that. We'll give it to you without charge. That's the population control agenda monograph. There really are people out there who want to kill off most of the world's population. If you doubt that, we'll be glad to send you the pages from the UNESCO Courier. Jacques Cousteau, November of 1991, talked about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day. 350,000 people a day. And then, of course, our Sustainable Development Syllabus has the summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment put out after the Second Earth Summit, where they talk about getting rid of most of the world's population. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
There are many people paying attention. Good afternoon. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe floating through the void of Jan's creation, it is Monday, the 28th of April, 2008. And yes, man alive, if you were watching the television over the weekend, and especially last night, Reverend Wright gave a rather perplexing presentation, perplexing rather, shall I say, for CNN, because he didn't come off as the raving lunatic madman that they've been painting him as, painting a picture of him as. And for all the, that's just one of the many reasons that we all should be standing up, scratching our head, and asking the question, where is the line in the sand? This is Dave Von Kleist.
And George Riley, and I'll tell you, I was thrilled to see what Reverend Wright had to say. They painted him as being, as Dave said, going to be some kind of wacko. Here we go again with more of this wacko talk. Well, if you watched it, it was not wacko talk.
Mm-mm.
They showed the man speaks five languages, has a PhD, a couple of masters, really knows what he's talking about. And so I'm thrilled that he did what he did. They've been replaying it over and over again. There's some kind of glitch at CNN today where they're either their script